Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
When I was pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was the fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than us, a little kid. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a wolf into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you,
dear mama. Nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they sold drugs, they showed a young brother love. I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I started slanging. I ain't guilty cause even though I sell rocks, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. You're just working with the scraps you was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. You're trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you, sweetie?
And dear mama,
please, no one above you, sweetie.
You all appreciate it. Pour out some liquor and I reminisce. Cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me, and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I could pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Well, welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authors Terry E. Lyle and Chris Michael Ward. And I first want to say thank you to all my listeners, north to south, east to west, and everybody in those 33 countries around the globe. I appreciate you. And we're going to have a great show for you tonight because we're going to have this phenomenal queen up here who is also known as a restorative practitioner for youth and family counseling. But before we bring her in, I want to say hello to my co-host, Chris. How you doing, Chris?
Hello, Terry. Hello, viewers. Happy early Mother's Day, Terry, and happy early Mother's Day weekend to all of you.
Thank you, darling. I appreciate that.
Woo. You're welcome.
And I'm hot. I don't know where everybody else is at, but this heat is kicking where I'm at. Ooh-wee, you know. So with that being said, it's my pleasure to introduce to everyone Miss Yvonne Platts. Like I said before, restorative practitioner for youth and family counseling. And the way this world is going right now, her job is very much needed. So without further ado, I want to introduce to some and introduce to others Miss Yvonne Platts. How you doing, darling?
Hey, dear sister. I am doing so well. But without all that formal title, you know, I just call myself an urban peace warrior or peacekeeper and healer. So,
Right now, hey, and you do that, and you do that. So tell us a little bit about how you got into being this. You know, you wear a lot of hats, you know, and you've been doing this for a number of years. I did some research on you, and I'm so impressed.
I'll listen to you. Well, the journey has been long. And I can say the journey came from a prayer, having listened to a group of young men ages 13 to 18, no, not 18 yet, but around 13, 14 years old, ask the question, where do you think you'd be when you're 18? And all but one said dead or in jail. And and I lifted up a prayer for me to be able to make a difference. And that was probably over 20 years ago. I was living in California. And from that day on, my path has been working at dismantling school to prison pipeline. You know, it has ended me right there during restorative justice with this extended community and diverting my youth out of the system. Yeah.
Yeah, and people also don't know you're an activist, too. You do a lot of things, like I said, you know, and you used to be a runner, getting awards and stuff, and now you're running to Jesus and trying to pull everybody with you, and I appreciate that about you. So before I go any further, I'm going to let Chris ask his next question.
All right. Yeah, Yvette. My first question is,
it's Yvonne, not Yvette. Yvonne.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, God. I'm sorry. Yvonne, I'm sorry. That's totally, I was totally wrong. I'm sorry.
That's your evil sister. I'm the good sister.
I knew better, and I knew better, and I apologize. But my first question is, in your opinion, how can the world use more peacekeeping, Yvonne?
Well, you know, it begins with self. If we learn how to be happy in the world, learn how to function in a way that gives life, then half the journey is won right there. But so when we run up against people who may be not so nice, we're already at a balanced state. that we can be able to relate more easily, so that we're not responding in a way that's negative. So learning to check in with number one, ourselves, helps keep us grounded and helps us work at keeping in right relationship with others.
And it also helps not to let people push buttons, because we all need peace. If we didn't have peace, we'd do the same thing that Ukraine and Russia's going through. You know, and basically the thing about being a peacemaker, you want to have to be strong, because a lot of times being a peacemaker is a lonely profession, because a lot of people are afraid to step on somebody's toes or afraid to speak out because they don't want to offend nobody. So you got to have a strong resolution about yourself to be a peacemaker. I don't care, you know, maybe I'm just, I don't care what people say. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I'm going to mean what I mean and say what I mean, and it is what it is, you know, because one thing I'm not afraid of, I'm not afraid of what somebody can do to me, because I know that even if I die in the fight, I know I can be resurrected. So, you know, hey, I'm out there trying to help people, not trying to bring misery to somebody. So I want to know, Yvonne.
I'd like to just finish responding to that, because I had a conversation today of lifting up what you just said teach our young people. And to be able to step up and to voice even with their friends when they see their friends doing wrong, because sometimes they think, you know, that they're soft if they say something. But letting them, them know that it's an act of courage, it's an act of strength for them to tell their friends, nah, you know, y'all ain't got to beef. Look, let's take it to the circle. So we're just hoping to make it so that it's a tool that gets popularized, that the message gets taken to heart, that you don't always have to fight. You don't, you know, have to always retaliate, that you can be able to talk things out, take it to the circle.
Right. Amen to that. You know, when you got into this role, you call it a peacemaker, but what really is a restorative practitioner?
Restorative, in the same way as peacekeeping, is not so much what you do, how you do, but it's a whole way of life, of the way you're thinking and way of doing things. And so became the practice
restoring
of,
things back to the core of what kind of person you're supposed to be. And so that's why it's restorative. You're restoring what you started off with before we deviated in the world and got caught up and messed up and, you know, mentally challenged or whatever. So that's like bringing it back to the core.
All those are components. Those of us who are practitioners or in this field, there are like three guiding principles that we say are, number one being relationship, which is the most important, being right relationship with someone. Most often, you know, when things are going awry, relationships are broken. So how do we mend those relationships? How do we respect is the second one. How do we honor one another? How do we respect one another's values? And then the third one is responsibility, taking ownership of what is done. Everybody generally plays a part in the issue. The issues aren't always or often are not one-sided. We all play a part, so only, you know, the part that we do. And then the fourth one would be repair. How do we repair the harm that has been done? How do we begin to rebuild this relationship when that's possible? And the fifth one is really important. And a lot of times it's not often practiced. You don't get a chance to get to it because sometimes it's a practice and it doesn't go, it's not a linear practice always. But reintegration, that's what's most important, especially when relationships have been broken and people are outside community, people tend to be shunned or at least think it, how we invite them back into the community.
Well, let me ask you this. How do you get your clients? Are they sent to you by the court system? Do y'all have a building, like, you know, for youth that they can just come in on their own? Or is it something that's an extenuation of a psychiatrist or therapist, a coach? They have, like, you know, another tier of somebody working in the same kind of arena.
Well, I really thank you for that question, because I have a two-part question. I've been building the capacity to have a community response team in my community, working in partnership with the police department and all, but that's the hope and the goal. But I feel in a community that's resistive. But I do work in a capacity of, in a position in the city. You know, y'all, I'm right outside of Philadelphia. So I actually work in Philadelphia with a program. We work with the DA's office, the juvenile division and the DA's office, who send us referrals of young people ages 12 to 17 who have been caught up in nonviolent offenses to get diverted. It's usually a 6-month process that we walk with them.
Okay. Well, what's the other part?
The other part I was saying is that there's very resistance, and there aren't any other alternatives in our community. We have one broken down system that's been operating for 20 years that they continue to utilize and continue to frown their faces at the restorative process. They act like it's something new when it's been on the books in the state of Pennsylvania since 1995, called a Balance and Restorative Justice Act, where we're supposed to do this holistic approach in addressing our young people. All we seem to focus on is punishment, and, you know, are the punitive factors. And we never have that.
Mentally and everything else, you know, or do we have a lot of
development pieces gone? The healing pieces are missing. Even for victims who may be, who suffer harm, they generally within our system don't get a chance to really receive their power back or feel safe sometimes because they don't get a chance to get questions answered. And because very often, like right now happening in my community, that we are a small community, when there's incidences of violence, and particularly even harmful ones, where we have incidents of shooting, both families on both sides of the table know each other already.
Wow, so that's messed up.
We're working on now how to work alongside and keep in peace within those family bonds who are at different sides of the table.
Okay.
And that's just through relationships.
I've got a question for you, too, when you finish that statement.
Yeah, my next question, Yvonne, is every day, what would you say is your favorite part of your job? Like, what's something that you can go home at night and say, you know, that was my favorite part?
Having had what we call a ceremony, our opening ceremony or closing ceremony with our young people, and with them acknowledging that they get it. They get it. That, I could have definitely have done something differently in that moment, in that act. I could have done something differently.
That's good. Well, is this a restorative community practitioners, is that only localized in your state, or is that somewhere in the United States people could go to? It might be called something different.
Oh, no, it's all over. I mean, and to give honor and tribute, it's an indigenous. Our indigenous sisters and brothers, initially, I like to tell people, if you remember the old cowboy movies and stuff, and you see our indigenous brothers and sisters sitting around a campfire and passing the pipe and the person talks, that's the sort of some of the process. Whoever has been harmed by the situation is invited to come to the circle. They have that voice. And you pass a talking piece. And so the person with the talking piece talks, and everyone gets a chance to listen, you know, and to listen from the heart, as we say. You know, not listen to respond and not responded, but to listen and to share how you've been touched, impacted, and harmed by the incident. And this is where the restorative piece really comes in. Those who have offended or who have done the harm, when they listen and see and hear the impact of what their actions did to not just the one targeted person, but those that are around them, you know,
right,
that they will, again, like I said, begin to take ownership, like, whoa, I didn't know that was going to cause all that harm. Whoa. And some of them very often face that person that they harmed.
in the juvenile jail penal system, you know, because some of them, you know, they're all of them are underage and they'll be getting released to the community. Do you go see them before you come out so y'all can kind of like divert some of the things that might happen because of their mindset to help restore them straight from the jail house before they get home?
Well, yes, there's several, not so much, not my initiative point right now, no, but there's several others that do. And one of the best ones that I've been a part of and to see is Pennsylvania had over 500 some juvenile lifers who were sentenced to life. And those are, they've been returning home for the past 5 years or so since the new technology, I mean, the new information about the brain not being fully developed, okay, until the age of 25 or so. So they have learned restorative practices, and they are working with the young people who are in group homes and detention centers. I am so delighted that the system is allowing and taking advantage of these stories of the young brothers that spent 30 and 40 years in jail for being an accomplice, for being lookouts, you know, but
wow.
sentenced to life as juveniles.
Mm-hmm. That's hard.
And they're giving back now in community, working with other young. That is, yeah, the highlight that I've seen of this work right now.
Okay, well, Chris, what's your new question you got for our special guests?
Yes, my next question is, Yvonne, how many people have you that you've helped come back and, you know, give you credit and kudos? How many people that have done that, and how has that made you feel?
I've been really, really blessed. Again, I live in a small community, so I've run into my young people. I've been doing this for over 20 years now at this point. So they come back often. I run into them, and I'm just delighted that, and they ask the question, are you still doing it? Those that don't know, that's what I want to do. Oh, how can I help? How can I be a part of it? And, yeah, so that brings me, just pleasure. And what's really happening is, since restorative justice, and they've been acting like it's something, a new phenomenon, more and more people are lifting it up. More and more people are asking for circles. Because when asked the system, when I asked the juvenile justice system, why don't we use them? They say, oh, nobody asked for them as far as circles. So
okay,
well,
let me ask you this question. How do people know about you? Do y'all go out every month to different locations to let people know, to be aware of y'all? Or do y'all seek out places to go to as speakers to talk and let people know about y'all? How do y'all get that word out?
Well, a number of avenues thus far have been through providing training opportunities. And so between word of mouth and the social media things, we've been providing training and understanding around it, language around it. Because one of the easiest ways to learn about it is through participating in circles. So by offering community circles so people can get participate in it, know what a, you know, when we say peace circles, restorative circles, the language often changes. Language changes. But it is the way so far is through practice, and training and practice and word of mouth.
Praise God that y'all doing the work, you know, because if you catch the young people before they become adults, you got a better chance of breaking bad habits because, you know, as an adult, you know, you've gotten settled into certain routines and habits, and it's hard to break those cycles, you know. But do you have a lot of family members that come and support their youth when y'all going through the counseling, teaching, or whatever practice that y'all do? Do y'all do it as a family, or do you do it as the child and the family is sitting out in a waiting room waiting till you have your time or session with that child?
That's another really good question. I also am in partnership or collaboration, I guess, with other support systems. One is called Participatory Defense, which meaning we are a hub who nobody's a lawyer. The lawyers used to come, but we don't have lawyers anymore. But it's people who themselves have undergone through the juvenile, not the justice system, period. And we provide people, help them do social bio packets for their family members who are incarcerated. We help them get in touch with the lawyers, and and we show court support and other advocacy work as well, as well as being a bail fund. Okay, because we also have a bail fund because we found out that there's many people who we had somebody get locked up for disorderly conduct and couldn't pay their bail, and they sat there for 2 months on disorderly conduct of, I don't even know if they were $500 they needed, but it was awfully low.
That's terrible.
So anybody's bail is under $5,000, we pay. Yeah, some people sit in jail for $50, $100,
Unbelievable. But, Yvonne, we're going to take a small break, and when we come back, Chris is going to have his next question for you, and then we're going to pretty much wrap it up. So stay with us. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Okay.
There's a lot of questions that I have about the past, and I don't want to hear it from a human. You made it, so you're the last person that I'm ever gonna ask. Tell me what's real, tell me what's fake. Why is everything about you a debate? What's the point of love? Every time I showed it, I was broken, and it forced me just to only want to hate. Why is there only one you but multiple religions? Why does every conversation end in a division? Why does everybody want to tell us how to live, but they won't listen to the same damn message that they give? Tell me how to feel, tell me what's wrong. I tried to call, pick up the phone, I'm on my own. Everybody says you coming back to man, why the hell is it taking so long? Why do I hurt? Why is there pain? Why does everything good always have to change? Why does everybody try to profit off another man's work then destroy it just for monetary gain? Tell me, are you black or are you white? I don't even really care, I just really want to know what's right. They've been saying one thing, but I've been looking in the book, and it seems like they've been lying for my whole damn life. Tell me where I'm going. Is it heaven or hell? I just hope this message greets you well. Had a dream that I was walking with the devil. Don't remember how it feels, but I swear that I remember the smell. Looked me right into my eye and told me everything I wanted could be mine if I gave up and decided to sell. But I said I'd rather die than get mine. Now I'm here, no fear, one man with a story to tell. Dear God, where were you when I needed it? When I fucked up and repeated it? When they set the bar and I exceeded it? My life is like a book that they've been judging by a cover, but have never took the time to fucking read this shit. I remember telling you my goals and my dreams, but you didn't even answer, so I guess you didn't believe in it. I remember sitting with a gun to my head trying to ask you for some. Why did you just believe it? I don't want religion, I need that spirituality. I don't want a church, I need people to call a family. I don't want to tell my sins to another sinner just because he's got a robe and he went to some academy. I don't want to read it in the book, I want to hear it from you. Don't want to learn it in my school because they're hiding the truth. Don't want to talk about it to another fucking human being, and that's the only reason that I even step this through. Dear God, how do I take this darkness and turn it into light? How do I believe in a concept where I speak to a man I've never seen with my own two eyes? How do I know that religion wasn't made just to separate the world and create a whole disguise just to keep us in these chains while the rich get richer and the poor pray to you and perpetuate a lie? How do I know this ain't some big joke? How can I have faith when there is no hope? How the hell does one man have $100 billion and we still have people on the street that are broke? There's a lot of things I want to talk about and get off my chest. I can't sleep because the devil won't let me rest. I used to know a fucking pastor in a church and I can still hear the screams of the kids even fucking molest. Dear God! I'm supposed to fear you, but you ain't said shit, so maybe it's you who actually fears me. I don't know the answer, I just want to see it clearly. So many lies and 1,000 different theories. All I want to know is who really made religion, because I know it wasn't you, but don't nobody believe me. No more lies, no more death. Bring back King, bring back X. Please, dear God, let their soul rest. Protect who's left and watch their death. Dear God, I don't want to have to ask you again. I just hope that you know that I'm still a believer, so I'll end this all by saying amen.
That was Dear God by Dax, D-A-X. And I want to welcome everybody back, north and south, east and west, and all the people in the 33 countries around the globe. Thank you. And I got my co-host, Chrissy. I have another question for our phenomenal guests. And then after that, she is going to share how to get a hold of her and which y'all can call her or whatever, make donations to the cause. Every little bit helps because they are kicking out money to get these young people out of jail on bond. And so y'all can send some money and help support a worthy act. So on that note, I'm going to let my co-host ask this question.
Yes, Yvonne. If you was not a peacekeeper, what profession would you be doing? Like, is this something you always wanted to do, or was this out of the blue?
it's kind of ironic that I'm a peacekeeper, because I would mostly be the first one that, you know, wanted to crack somebody. I get first ask questions later. So it's real ironic that in my life has been full circle. In here, but I'm always this creative type, and I like theater, and I was kind of drawn to forum theater, the theater of a press, so acting out and healing through that way, through drama, through the arts. So, yeah, that's where.
I just want to say, first of all, happy Mother's Day to everybody. Sunday's coming up. But a special happy birthday to you, Ms. Platts, because your birthday is this Monday. And I'm sending you energy and positivity and everything. And we need to first thank you for being here on a Friday. You know, this is a day that we don't want to hang out and be interviewed, but we appreciate you. And we want to give you this opportunity right now to tell everybody how to get a hold of you, how you can make donations, or you know, accept PayPal or Zelle, you know. Every little bit helps, you know, because what you're doing is a great thing, and we need more peacemakers and people who put their mouth where their money is and where their time is, because it always ain't about money. If you ain't putting in the time, it don't mean nothing. So we thank you for that, first of all. And here you got the floor, darling. You can say whatever you like to say. Tell everybody whatever you want to tell them, you know, and if they don't want to send those donations to you or for your organization, you can send some birthday gifts. Money, she'll take that.
indeed, because donations keep us training on a continuous training. I'm trying to pass off my skills to the young people so I can retire with the whole movement. So this is not just a one, and this has been a growing movement, and so we continue to train on an ongoing basis. So I can be reached. My email is yotalkpeace. yotalkpeace at gmail.com. I can be reached by phone for questions as well, 484-301-2126. And as far as donations, I guess the quickest and easiest way to donate and keep track, Cash App, where I am Yvonne, it's the $ Mate Warrior, or Yvonne Platts, I guess it would come up. But your $ Mate, M-A-A-T-I, Warrior, W-A-R-R-I-O-R.
Well, yeah. Darling.
Thank you.
We sure appreciate having you tonight, me and Chris. And once you've been on the show, this has to come home with family. Anytime you want to come back on for whatever the reason, it could be a different topic. It could be to say something that you got coming down the pike, or it could be something you want to talk about in your personal life or somebody else's personal life. Call me up. We can make it happen. You can always come back because you're now home.
Oh, indeed. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
We sure enjoyed you, and you be safe out there. You have a blessed week coming up, and have a great birthday on Monday, girl.
All right. Mm-hmm, exactly. I'm trying to stop and go.
Yes, darling. Yes. Stay safe.
Yes, indeed.
Well, on that note, we're going to say goodbye. But next week will be no show. My grandson is graduating from high school, so there's no show next week. But the following week, come back with us because we're going to be talking about how to make some money on Hyperverse. And everybody
Congratulations on the graduation.
This graduation is Friday coming up, the 13th, so there won't be no show because I'm going to be there front and center because I got this boy to cross the finish line. I'm going to be there.
Yes, you celebrate. Mm-hmm.
Yes, baby. Got another one through. It's been easy, but with God as my pilot and me sitting in a jump seat, He made it happen. So
amen.
On that note, I'll get up out of here. I'll find me some cool air. But right now I'm hot. As everybody knows my story, it's been 14 days without any AC, and I'm hot. So I got to go. I got to run. So y'all take care and love y'all much. And Chris, I'll see you week after next.
Yep.
Right.
Have a good goodbye.
Goodbye,
yep.
Y'all.
All right. Night,
bye,
night.
Hon.
Yeah, right. Night, Terry. Night, Chris.
Good night, everybody.